Human beings are great adapters, and by lunchtime, life in the environs of Arthur's house had settled into a steady routine. It was Arthur's expected role to lie squelching in the mud, making occasional demands to see his lawyer, his mother, or a good book. It was Mr. Prosser's accepted role to tackle Arthur with the occasional new ploy such as before the public good talk, or the march of progress talk, the they knocked my house down once you know never looked back talk, and various other cajoleries and threats. And it was the bulldozer driver's accepted role to sit around drinking coffee and experimenting with union regulations to see how they could turn the situation to their financial advantage. The earth moved slowly in its diurnal course. The sun was beginning to dry out the mud that Arthur lay in. A shadow moved across him again. "Hello, Arthur," said the shadow. Arthur looked up, and squinting into the sun was startled to see Ford Prefect standing above him. "Ford, hello, how are you?" "Fine," said Ford. "Look, are you busy?" "Am I busy?" exclaimed Arthur. "Well, I've just got all these bulldozers and things to lie in front of because they'll knock my house down if I don't, but other than that, well, no, not especially. Why?" They don't have sarcasm on Betelgeuse, and Ford Prefect often failed to notice it unless he was concentrating. He said, "Good. Is there anywhere we can talk?" "What?" said Arthur Dent. And for a few seconds, Ford seemed to ignore him and stared fixedly into the sky like a rabbit trying to get run over by a car. Then suddenly, he squatted down beside Arthur. "We've got to talk," he said urgently. "Fine," said Arthur, "talk." "And drink," said Ford. "It's vitally important that we drink and talk. Now, we'll go to the pub in the village." He looked at the sky again, nervous, expectant. "Look, don't you understand?" shouted Arthur. He pointed at Prosser. "That man wants to knock my house down." Ford glanced at him, puzzled. "Well, he can do it while you're away, can't he?" he asked. "But I don't want him to." "Look, what's the matter with you, Ford?" said Arthur. Nothing's the matter. Listen to me. I've got to tell you the most important thing you've ever heard. I've got to tell you now, and I've got to tell you in the saloon bar of the Horse and Groom." "But why?" "Because you're going to need a very stiff drink." Ford stared at Arthur, and Arthur was astonished to find that his will was beginning to weaken. He didn't realize that this was because of an old drinking game that Ford learned to play in the hyperspace ports that served the Mandronite mining belts in the star system of Orion Beta. The game was not unlike the Earth game called Indian Wrestling, and was played like this. Two contestants would sit either side of a table, with a glass in front of each of them. Between them would be placed a bottle of Jank's Spirit, as immortalized in that ancient Orion mining song, "Oh, don't give me none more of that old Jank's Spirit. No, don't you give me more none of that old Jank's Spirit, for my head will fly, my tongue will lie, my eyes will fry, and I may die. Won't you pour me more of that old sinful Jank's Spirit?" Each of the two contestants would then concentrate their will on the bottle and attempt to tip it and pour spirit into the glass of his opponent, who would then have to drink it. And the bottle would then be refilled. The game would be played again and again. Once you started to lose, you would probably keep losing because one of the effects of Jank's Spirit is to depress telepsychic power. And as soon as predetermined quantity had been consumed, the final loser would have to perform a forfeit, which, usually obscenely biological, Ford Prefect usually played to lose. Ford stared at Arthur, who began to think that perhaps he did not want to go to the Horse and Groom after all. "But what about my house?" he asked plaintively. Ford looked across to Mr. Prosser, and suddenly a wicked thought struck him. "He wants to knock your house down?" "Yes, he wants to build..." "And he can't because you're lying in front of his bulldozer?" "Yes, and I'm sure we can come to some arrangement," said Ford. "Excuse me," he shouted. Mr. Prosser, who was arguing with a spokesman for the bulldozer drivers about whether or not Arthur Dent constituted a mental hazard, and how much they would get paid if he did, looked around. He was surprised and slightly alarmed to see that Arthur had company. "Yes, hello," he called. "Has Mr. Dent come to his senses yet?" "Can we for the moment," called Ford, "assume that he hasn't?" "Well," sighed Mr. Prosser. "And can we also assume," said Ford, "that he's going to be staying here all day?"
"So?"
"So all your men are going to be standing around all day doing nothing?"
"Could be, could be."
"Well, if you're resigned to doing that anyway, you don't actually need him to lie here all the time, do you?"
"What?"
"You don't," said Ford patiently, "actually need him here." Mr. Prosser thought about this.
"Well, no, not as such," he said. "Not exactly need."
Prosser was worried. He thought that one of them wasn't making a lot of sense. Ford said, "So, if you would like to just take it as read that he's actually here, then he and I could slip off down to the pub for half an hour. How does that sound?"
Mr. Prosser thought it sounded perfectly potty.
"That sounds perfectly reasonable," he said in a reassuring tone of voice, wondering who he was trying to reassure. "And if you want to pop off for a quick one yourself later on," said Ford, "we can always cover for you in return."
"Thank you very much," said Mr. Prosser, who no longer knew how to play this at all.
"Thank you very much, yes, that's very kind," he frowned. Then he smiled. Then tried to do both at once, failed, grasped hold of his fur hat, and rolled it fitfully around the top of his head. He could only assume that he had just won. "So," continued Port Friedbecht, "if you would just like to come over here and lie down?"
"What?" said Mr. Prosser.
I'm sorry," said Ford. "Perhaps I hadn't made myself fully clear. Somebody's got to lie in front of the bulldozers, haven't they? Or there won't be anything to stop them from driving into Mr. Dent's house, will there?"